Okay. Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Kedushin is Nun Beis. Thanks to Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lerner Zeich and Nishmas. Libra Gabriela Vashmuel. We begin today on Nun Alf Amud Beis. We're in the middle of the topic of Abai and Rava and Kedushin Shalonimsu Labiyah. If you are Mekadosh a woman and as a result of that Kedushin you cannot have Bia with her, for reasons which are going to articulate, we're going to continue to articulate, and you cannot have Bia with her, so it's a machlok between Abai and Rava whether the Kedushin is in fact at all a valid Kedushin or not. Abai says the Kedushin is still valid, even though it's Kedushin Shalonimsu Labiyah, and Rava says no, it's not Kedushin. So as you recall yesterday, when we were introduced to the machlok between Abai and Rava, the Gemara brought in a source for Rava. Gemara doesn't even bother speaking on behalf of Abaye, but Amar of Barihini Azrili, I'm just reviewing from what we saw yesterday. In other words, the pasuk which is more than just a narrative, it's more than just simply man marries a woman, they have relations, it's more than that. The pasuk is actually speaking to a halachic requirement that in order for it to be kedushin, it has to be nimsu labia. There has to be a potentially leading to a bia. If the kedushin cannot lead to a bia, so then therefore the kedushin is not going to be a good kedushin. Just to review a basic yisod that we saw together in Tosfos yesterday. Tosfos on the top of Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Tosfos says, look, we visit and revisit time and again throughout Shas the idea that even though it's an Isser Lav, it's one of the Yisurim of the Torah, but the kedushin is going to take hold. So for example, a kohen marries a grusha. Torah says not to do it. But if the Kohen marries a Grusha, the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. So why don't we say over there that that's a Kedushin Shalonim Sur Labiyah? Because the Torah says that that Kohen and that Grusha are not allowed to be with one another. So Tosfos says, so what we're going to have to do is just limit our understanding of Kedushin Shalonim Sur Labiyah. That is only talking about where the Kedushin itself creates the potential problem, the prohibition of bia. But if the kedushin itself is not creating what's creating the isur bia, if the Torah already created the isur bia, so then it's not open for the discussion of Abai and Rava. Abai and Rava are only talking about scenarios in which the kedushin itself is going to be subject to the isur bia. So, for example, let's just before we even go further in the Gemara. So, let's go back to what we saw yesterday in the Mishnah. Mishnah: man married consecutively a woman and her daughter, or a woman and her sister. So now so according to Rava, the kedushin is not going to be a valid kedushin. Why? Because consider. A man cannot be with a woman and her daughter. A man cannot be with a woman and her sister. By trying to create a kedushin with both of them simultaneously, so that's a kedushin shalonim su labia. That's a kedushin that cannot result in a bia. And it's the kedushin that's creating the isur bia. Meaning she wouldn't be the sister without the kedushin to her sister. It wouldn't be a daughter without the kedushin to the mother. So it's the kedushin that's creating the isur bia. And as a result of that, Rava says the kedushin is just simply not valid. That's how Rava is going to learn the Mishnah. Okay. So that is the topic in which we're discussing. And we're in the middle of the topic. We're on an Aleph Amud Beis, and we're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. Tashma. Okay. We did this. Ma'adatem, ki mekaba kedusha. Sorry. We did that. Okay. Tashma, Mishiyesh Loshtei Kitei Abanos. Thank you. Okay. Right in the middle of Nun Aleph Amud Beis, the first word in the line is Mishiyesh Lo. Okay, this is where we left off yesterday. Okay, this is a Mishnah coming up. Mishiyesh Loshtei Kitei Abanos. Mishtei Nashim. So a man is married two wives and basically has two families, two sets of daughters. So, Va'amar Kidashis Biti Agadola. Now, he makes the following declaration. He says, I married off my older daughter. Okay? So, and let's say very carefully in the English language. Not oldest, but older.
It's a minor, right?
And now, the general rule is that he can only marry off his daughter when she's a minor. And also, one of the general rules is that he has namanas. He has credibility to believe that he did so. Right? Generally speaking, the rule is that if it's biyado, if you have the power to do something, you are therefore invested with credibility that you in fact did it. So since he can marry off one of his daughters while she's a minor, he also therefore has the credibility of declaring that he married her off. So he makes the following declaration. I married off a bito hagadola. Now again, I'm going to choose the words carefully in the English language. I married off one of my older daughters. Now, if I said oldest, so then obviously that's a superlative, and that's referring to one. So you'll see it, there's a built-in ambiguity, so that's why the English word I'm going to use is older. Any odem gedolah shebegedolah im gedolah shebektanos im ktanos shebegedolah shehu gedolah min hagedolah shebektanos. So now, let's say that he has a set of girls from one wife, a set of girls from the other wife. Now, when he uses the word gedolah, the word gedolah can be a broad term, including a lot of them. It could be, let's just go over this again, eini yodea im gedolah shebegedolah, it could be the oldest, v'im gedolah shebektanos, or it could be the oldest of his second wife, im ketana shebegedolos, it could be the second daughter from his first wife, she gedolah min hagedolah shebektanos, who's still older than the other kids that he has. So kulan asuros, because he dropped the statement, but he left it with an ambiguity, therefore all of his older daughters are going to be under the possibility of that they were in fact married off. Chutz miktanos shebektanos. Divrei Reb Meir, with exception to one, and that is the ketanos shebektanos, the youngest of the young. Meaning, the only one who is not included in the statement of I married one of my older girls is the youngest. The youngest is not cannot fall under that category.
But it doesn't fit the sentence.
In other words, each one of them is a possibility. Now, Divrei Reb Meir, these are the words of Reb Meir. Now, let's consider. In the statement said by the father, he married off one of his girls, but unclear which one of them he married off. Now, at the time when the man is being Mekadesh, he doesn't know which one of the girls he's being Mekadesh. Because, presumably, this is what the Gemara is thinking right now, presumably, all the father said is, look, I'm going to give you one of my girls. I got a bunch of them, I'll give you one of them. I'll give you an older one, meaning not the youngest. I'll give you an older one, and then I'll clarify who it is at a later point in time. Okay, now, again, right now, we're not discussing the pragmatics of, should the father be doing this? Meaning, should the father be giving off one of his daughters and not being perfectly clear who is giving off, which one is giving off? Okay, the common sense issue, which is father shouldn't have been engaging in these types of negotiations altogether. But leave that aside. Right now, the basic question on the Gemara is that the man who is doing the Kiddushin is marrying a girl and he doesn't know which one it is. And now, when it comes time to have Biyah, he can't. Because this girl right now may not be his wife, and she may in fact be the sister of his wife. So this is a classic scenario of Kiddushin Shein Nimsur Labia. And meanwhile, Rav Meir in the Mishnah says the Kiddushin is in fact a valid Kiddushin. So this obviously is a challenge against Rava. This is a Kiddushin Shein Nimsur Labia, and meanwhile the Kiddushin is valid. So again, the Gemara's response is, Hachem Ma'ayskinan, Kishahukru Levasof Nis Arvu. So the Gemara says, no. At the time of Kiddushin, he knew which one it was, but then and confusion. Okay, I know this challenges a lot of the ideas of a romantic marriage. In other words, at the time I knew which daughter it was, but then later on I got a little bit confused. The daughters themselves were a little bit confused, whatever. In other words, but at the time the Kiddushin, we knew which one it was. That's why the Kiddushin is valid. Dekanami Diktani. In fact, the Gemara says if you carefully read the Mishnah, this is the correct Pshat in the Mishnah, because Eini Yodea Velo Ketani Ein Yadua. Because if you look carefully at the grammar, it says Eini Yodea. I don't know who it is now. Meaning at one point I knew who it was. But then, whatever, I forgot. So, yes.
Doesn't the word Hagadolah mean one? I mean, the word hey in front of the Hagadolah means one. Why is there ambiguity here?
Yeah, you're right. The hey is usually ha-yidia. It's usually a definitive article, agreement.
It doesn't mean the older one.
All right.
It doesn't mean the older.
Correct. In other words, that's why in English it would translate as, right, the older one, but not the oldest. Just so again, it's right. It's just. They're right. So the. Okay. Anyway, let's continue. Dekanami Diktani, the Gemara says, I read this already, and Yadiv Loktani, and Yadush Mamina. Okay. Ihachi Maila Memra. So the Gemara says, now, where are we right now? So we are in a state where, we're in a state of confusion, but where are we in terms of the case? The case is at the time of the Kiddushin, he knew which one it was, and then later he forgot. So it could, and because the negotiation was over an older one, so therefore it could be the oldest, the second oldest, the third, anyone but the baby, not the baby. So the Gemara says, now, if we're here, so really we learned the Mishnah together without a single Chiddush. Meaning, this is all pretty straightforward. And that's not the point of the Mishnah. It's the point of a Mishnah is to teach us a Chiddush. And right now, we don't have a Chiddush. He married a girl. At the time, he knew who it was. And then he subsequently forgot. So now, and because negotiation was for an older one, so therefore it could be the first, second, third, anyone but the baby. That's obvious. So the Gemara says, "La'afukim de Rav Yosef damer lo machas inish nafshelus feka, kamash malan de machas inish nafshelus feka." So the Gemara says, "No, there is a chiddush because we know shitas Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says people don't do that. People don't have any type of negotiation where it's open to ambiguity. Meaning, according to Rav Yosef, if we're saying older, if we're talking about the older, we're only talking about one, and that would be the oldest." We're not going to be starting to quibble over maybe it was the first, maybe it was the second, maybe it was the third. You know, I'll entertain any one of those. In other words, Rav Yosef says that a person does not put himself in a position of suffix. Rav Meir says, no, a person does. So that's the chiddush of that Mishnah. The Mishnah's chiddush is that according to Rav Meir, there is a chance of ambiguity, whereas according to Rav Yosef, there is no chance of ambiguity. Tashma. Here we go. This brings us back to the good old days. For some of us, they're not the good old days, but they are. They are. It's Yevamos, it's hard, it's difficult, but it's part of the corpus of Torah, and we need to know it. Tashma, Misha Kiddush Achas, Misha Achayos, Vein Yedeis, Eze Kiddush. Man goes over to one of two sisters and is Mekadosh, but he doesn't know which one he was Mekadosh of the two sisters. Okay, again, should obviously the Kiddushin, you know, should be a more memorable event. He should know. If you'd like to make this a little bit better, just a little bit more, little bit more digestible, maybe he did it Alayde Shliach, and that's why he doesn't know. Okay, anyway. So, no saying get lazu. Now, he doesn't know which one of the two sisters he was Mekadosh, he has to give a get to both. This is a Mishnah in Yevamos. Now, he gave Kiddushin to one of two sisters, and he doesn't know which one it is. This is, once again, Kiddushin Shalom Nimsu Labia. He can't have relations with her, because it may not be her, it may be her sister, that he was Mekadosh. And then that would make her Achos Kiddushaso. Achos Ishto. And though, so this is a classic example of Kiddushin Shalom Nimsu Labia. And meanwhile, the Mishnah Yevamos says he's got to give a get to both of them. Meaning that the marriage is a valid marriage. Once again, this challenges Rava's position. So the Gemara says, "Hacha b'mayiskin and kishahukur losof nizarvu." So once again, the Gemara's response is the same response. At the time of the kedushin, he knew, and then afterwards, confusion ensued. They can, right. That would be correct. Now, Dekanami Diktani, the Gemara says now, again, read the Mishnah in Yevamos carefully, and if you read the Mishnah carefully, you'll see this is the correct pshat, because it says, Eina yodea v'lo ketani eina yadua, the difference between knowing versus having once known. Fine. Now, again, the Gemara is bothered by the same point that we were bothered by just a moment ago. There's no longer a chiddush here. He married a sister. He knew at the time we married. Now he subsequently got confused. So therefore, he needs to, in order for them to go on, they need to get. They both need to get from him. Gemara says, okay. There's no chiddush. Sefer Tzurichle. The Gemara says, you're right. There's no inherent chiddush over there. The chiddush is coming up in the next part of the Mishnah, and that is the following: Meis v'lo ach echad. Let's say that this man dies. So again, this man was Mekadosh, one of two sisters. He doesn't know which one he was Mekadosh. Then the man dies. Now, one of them has a Zika. Which one? The one he was Mekadosh. Problem is, we don't know which one he was Mekadosh. So, Cholitza Shteyim. So now, the surviving brother is going to do Chalitza to both of them. Hayilo Shnaim. Now, let's say he was survived not by one brother, but let's say he was survived by two brothers. So, Echad Cholitz Ve'echad Miyabin. So he'll do Chalitza with one, he'll do Yibum with the other. Sorry. One brother will do Chalitza with one of the women, and one brother will do Yibum with the other woman. Now, now, if both of the surviving brothers marry both of these sisters, so then it's not the best, but the marriage in both cases can sustain. Now, let's just consider this outside for just a moment. I don't want to spend too much time on this. It's not really our topic. Our topic is Kedushin Shalom Nimsu Labia. But just so that we have a rudimentary understanding of what's going on over here, okay, consider. One man is married to one woman. The problem, of course, is that he was Mekadosh one of the two sisters. He doesn't know which one he was Mekadosh. Now, this man dies. So that now means that one of these women has a Zika to his brother. They died without children. There's now she's now a candidate for Yibum. She's a Shemeres Yavam. She's a candidate to Yibum. She now has a Zika. She is connected to one of the two men, okay, through the Zika. But we don't know which she it is because we don't know which of the sisters he was Mekadosh to. So now, let's go now from the perspective of one of these two men. One of these two men now is going to do the mitzvah of Yibum. Here's the problem. Problem is, he doesn't know which one of the sisters has the actual Zika. So, now, on a 50-50, one in two chance that he got it right. He did the mitzvah of Yibum with the right sister. However, of course, the problem is that there's also one in two chance that he's marrying the other sister. What is that other sister to him? So that is what's called in the world of Yevamos, Acho Zekuka So. It is the sister of a Zekuka. Now, what is a Zekuka? It's a quasi-marriage. So he's basically marrying a sister of someone who's quasi-married to him. Mid Rabbanan, that's prohibited. So that's why the Mishnah says, first you'll do Chalitza to one. If that one has a Zika, dissolves a Zika. Gives him the ability to marry the other sister. It won't be the mitzvah of Yibum, but it will be a perfectly legitimate marriage. If the one he did Chalitza to is not the Zekuka, so what he did was just a funny ceremony that meant nothing, and then what he then is doing is the mitzvah of Yibum with the other sister. If there are two surviving brothers, so then one will do Chalitza, may or may not remove the Zika. If it does, great, and if it doesn't, also fine, because then the other brother will do Yibum with the other sister. Either the Zika has been removed by his brother, or he's doing the mitzvah of Yibum. Okay, I know I said that quickly. If you got it, great, and if not, wait till Yevamos.
If there was one brother, no, because he gives Chalitza to one, he may be then marrying Achos.
He's not doing it, his brother's doing it.
No, right. That's right. 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 By one. No. Correct. 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 Now, Davka Michlitz Vada Yibum. Now, the Gemara says. Now, the order over here is very significant. It first has to be Chalitza followed by Yibum. Ava Yibum Yehada Michlitz Lo. But you can't do it the other way around. Not Yibum followed by Chalitza. The Kapagabacho Zukukaso. Because as I just articulated, because if one of the surviving brothers first does Yibum, he may be doing Yibum, and it's not Yibum. It may be doing marriage with the sister of a Zekuka. Okay, Tashma. We are just reading on in the Mishnayos in Yevamos. These are all the Mishnayos around the Chav Gimel area. Right, Daf Chav Gimel, in Yevamos. Shtayim Shekishu Shtei Achayo Zu Eni Yodei Eze Kiddush Vezu Eni Yodei Eze Kiddush. Okay, the chances of this happening are very close to zero. We're learning this before for the abstract, for the analysis. Right, so two men are marrying two sisters. These two men are not related. Okay, they have no relationship whatsoever to each other, and they're married to two sisters, but one doesn't know which one he's married to, the other one doesn't know which one he's married to. Zenosen Shnegitin, Zenosen Shnegitin. Now, once again, in order for these women now to go on, so each one is going to require a get. So, again, the Gemara is challenging Rava, because this is clearly a case of Kiddushin Shalonim Salabiyah. You can't have relations with, neither one of these men can have relations, because they don't know which of the sisters they were in Mekadosh. And that means that if they're going to have relations with either one of them, it could be Achos Ishta. So, Hachanam Shehukul of Sof Nisarvu. Again, the Gemara says that at the time of the Kedushin they knew, the confusion ensued afterwards. Tekanami Diktani, Eni Yodev, Lo Ketani, Eni Yodua. And the Gemara says, and again, because you read the Mishnah carefully, the Mishnah says, Eni Yodea, we don't know currently. We once knew. Shemamina, Ihachimai Lamemra. And again, the Gemara says, well, what's the Chiddush? And if that's the case, Sefer Tzrichle, the Gemara says, the Chiddush comes up now in the next part of the Mishnah. And this is where we're going to get to the hardest part of the Mishnayos and Yevamos. Meis v'lazeh ach v'lazeh ach. He dies, and each one of them died, and each one of them has a surviving brother. Zecholos l'shtehem v'zecholos l'shtehem. So one will do chalitza to both, and the other will do chalitza to both. Again, from the perspective of each one of the surviving brothers, so what are these two sisters to him? One of them has a Zika, and the other one has nothing. So, but again, he can't marry them. So each one of them, he can't marry either one of them because marriage to one of them would be a possible achozekukaso. And also keep in mind that the other woman also has a Zika to the other sister has a Zika to another man. So the only solution over here is each one of the surviving brothers is going to be doing chalitza. Now, in the scenario, we're in the same scenario where two men, not related, are married to two sisters. We don't know which man is married to which one of the sisters. Each one of the men die, and they are survived. One survived by one brother, and the other survived by two brothers. So here, echad cholitz l'shteihem. So the one surviving brother is going to do chalitza to both. So if there's a zika, resolved by his chalitza. And now what are we left with? We're left with now the other deceased husband with two surviving brothers. Now we can go back to what we said earlier. So and then of the two surviving brothers, one will do chalitza and the other will do yibam. Im kidmu v'kintzu, ein motzinos miyadam. Now of the two surviving brothers, if they don't both decide that they want to marry the sisters, so it's not the best, but bidyevid, it would be okay. Right. The preference is one of them do chalitza because it removes the zika, the possible zika. Now again, here the order has to be very significant. The one surviving brother has to do chalitza first, and then afterwards yibum. But you can't do it the other way around. Why? Because without the chalitza that's done, so now you have a yivama who is still tied to her brother-in-law, and now if she goes and marries an outsider, another man, so that's the Isser in the Torah of Yevam L'shuk. And so therefore, that one surviving brother has to do chalitza in the event that she has a zika to him. By doing the chalitza, breaks the zika, and now she's free to marry whomever she wants. So there, the order also is going to be very significant. The Gemara, basically, by going over these Mishnayos and Yevamos, again, the only reason why we went over these Mishnayos is because they all pose a difficulty to Rava. Rava says Kedushin She'enim So Labia is not a Kedushin. In all these cases, clearly there's a Kedushin. We're talking Get, we're talking Chalitza, we're talking Yibum. We're only talking those items because there was a marriage. Well, how could they be a marriage? It's Kedushin Shalom Nimsu Labia. And the answer has consistently been, at the time of Kedushin, he knew the confusion only ensued afterwards. Tashma. We are in Unbezim at Aleph. We're finishing up this topic of Kedushin Shalom Nimsu Labia. The Gemara continues. Tashma didni Tavyumi. It was taught by Tavyumi, an Amora's name which we do not hear that often. Or it could be Tana. But it's certainly a bright side of what he's teaching. A man with five boys goes over to a man with five girls. Okay. So it happens to be that there are two people like that here in this room. But anyway. But over here, the conversation got very vague. The man with the five, the father of the five boys says to the father of the five girls, you know, one of my boys to one of your girls. Okay, good. Now it's not good. Meaning that lack of clarity at the time of Kedushin is going to result in the following. We don't know who married whom. One of the boys married one of the girls, but we don't know. Now, if that's all the information we have, and we know that the Kedushin occurred, so then the resolution has to be that in order for these girls to go on with their lives, each one of them is going to need a get from each one of the boys. Okay, 5 squared, 25 getting being written. Okay, now, meis echad mehem. Now, if one of the boys die, so kol achav achat tricha arba getting, v'chalitza me echad mehem. So then, each one of the girls is going to need 4 getting, because there are only 4 surviving boys, and it could be that the one who died was actually the husband, which means that she's also going to need chalitza. She doesn't need chalitza from every one of the brothers, because remember, the chalitza can only be done with one surviving brother and her. So she only needs one chalitza from both, from the remaining 4. Now, that's the Braisa taught to us by Tavyumi. And once again, this poses a difficulty to Rava. Because remember what Rava says, if it's a Kedushin Shalonim Sulabia, it's simply not a Kedushin. This is once again a classic scenario of Kedushin Shalonim Sulabia, because the boy doesn't know which girl he's married to. And he cannot have relations with her because could be that it's his wife. It could be that she is the sister of his wife. So it's a kedushin shalonim sulabia. So hachinam kishuhuku levesof nisarva. So the Gemara says, well, we're going to have to go do our go-to move. Our go-to move is that at the time of kedushin, we all knew the confusion ensued afterwards. The Gemara says, ha'achad mi b'nosecha le'achad mi banai ketani. The Gemara says, yeah, but read the brace again and read it carefully, because at the point of origination, at the time of negotiation, it was one of my sons to one of your daughters. So clearly at that point already, there was a lack of clarity of which one to which. So tiyufta derava tiyufta. So the Gemara says, after having learned this brisa, and even at the time of the kedushin, we didn't know which boy to which girl. It's a kedushin shalonim sulabia, and still it's a kedushin. So the Gemara says, after having learned this brisa, tiyufta derava. It refutes the position of Rava, and the Gemara says this is one of those unusual times in the Gemara, in Shas, where we're going to pass like Abaye. In fact, it's so unusual. How many times do we pass like Abaye throughout Shas? Six times. And this is the Gemara, Ve'ilchasa Kavasa Da'abaye Bi'ya'al Kagam. And so therefore, there are six times throughout Shas where we pass like Abaye over that of Rava, meaning the default setting is that we pass like Rava, except for these times, this is one of the times, and the Gemara just simply gives us an acronym in terms of remembering what are those six times that we paskin like Abaye over Rava, Yud Ayin Lamed, Kuf Gimel Mem, and the acronym is Yalkagam to help us remember. Now, I'm not going to go through all six of them right now. Right now, where are we in the Yalkagam? We're on the Kuf, meaning the Kuf is Kedushin Sholonim Sur Labia, where Machlok Abaye and Rava, whether Kedushin is valid or not. Rava says it's not valid. Abaye says it is valid. And we are passing like Abaye that Kedushin Shalonim Salabiya is in fact going to be valid. One interesting point, you'll forgive me, I'm not going to go through the other five right now. One interesting point is that the Gemara never actually spells out what the Yalkagam stands for. Meaning, we know the Kuf is Kedusha Shalom Labia, because the Gemara inserts the acronym right here, and what else could we be talking about? We're talking about the Kuf. A point of interest is, if you take a look at the second Tosus over here, the Lamed of the Yalkagam. What is the Lamed standing for? So, oddly enough, and interestingly enough, the Rishonim debate which Machlokas Abaye and Rava throughout Shas is the Lamed making reference to. So Rashi over here says it's Lechi HaOmed Me'elav. Okay, not for now. I'm not going to go through it right now, what the issue of Lechi HaOmed Me'elav is. But if you take a look at Tosfos says, no, Rashi's not right. Meaning, that's not the Lamed in the Machlokas Abaye and Rava that we're making reference to. And Tosfos offers not one, but two other possibilities in throughout Shas in terms of what the Lamed is making reference to. Rabbi Tam has a pshat. Chachmei Narvona have a pshat. Just an interesting point that even though we know the halacha is like Abaye by the Yalkagam, what we're not perfectly clear on is what's the lamed of the Yalkagam. Okay, Maisa b'chamish nashim. Let's go on in the Gemara. Okay, we're going back now to the incident in the Mishnah. The incident in the Mishnah of five women. And of the five women, two of them are sisters. And liket echa me adam echa kilkol shel te'enem v'shalahem aisa. A man gathered together a basket of figs. I'm just reviewing the story that we saw back in the Mishnah. The Mishnah is on Nun Amud Beis. A man took a basket of figs. Actually, they were hers. They were her figs. But shel shvi'as aisa. But they belonged to the Shemitah year. Which means that they were hers, but of course they weren't hers. Because during the Shemitah, all fruit are hefker. He took them, the Amar Hare Kulchem Mekudeshes Li, and he says, look, women, it's your lucky day. All right, of the five of you, I want to be Mekadesh all five of you. So, Bekakalazu, with the basket of fruit. Vikibla Achas Mehem Aide Kulam. One accepted on behalf of everyone. So now they're all going to be Mekudeshes, and it's all going to happen simultaneously. And to which the Chachamim said, the sisters are not part of the deal. And they can't be, because he can't marry two sisters. So therefore, the sisters are excluded from the Kedushin. Okay, that's the story. And again, Machlokas, Abaye, and Rava, whether it's one of the two sisters, both of the sisters. Okay, anyway, that's the story. Amar Rav. Rav says it's a great story. When I say great, I mean halachically great. Meaning, there are a lot of halachas that we can learn from this story. Shema minam masnisin arba. Rav says that there are four halachas to be learned from the story. V'naka rabbi adei tlas. However, Rav says, but when I go home from the Beis Medrash today, I'm going to only be taking three halachas home with me. Meaning, I know, it's a little confusing, but hopefully I'll unconfuse in just a moment. four halachas to be derived, but three of them without equivocation. So I will walk away with three. Three will be in my hand. The fourth, I'm unsure about. Shema minal. So let's go over the three halachas that are absolutely clear. Hamikash prepares shvius mekudeshes. You go to Israel during the Shemitah year, you take fruit. That fruit has kedusha. Kedushas shvius. Recently, we are familiar with this. This past Sukkos, the slogan that we use to have kedusha shvius. Okay, now, something has kedusha shvius. What does that mean? It means that, first of all, you're not allowed to take it outside of Israel. Okay. Okay, I know it presents a small problem because we took the astrogam out of Israel. Okay, let's I'm gonna push that right under the rug. Okay, let's I know. Okay, two, you're limited in terms of how long you can eat it. You can only eat it while it's seasonal. Once it's no longer seasonal, so you have to then make it, you have to then do what's called beer. Exactly what beer is subject to machlokas rishonim. Three, with kedusha shvius, there's only one thing you can do with it, and that is you can only eat it. You can't do other. You can't do commercial activity with it. Like, you can't sell it. What am I now? I'm two for three now in terms of this past Sukkos. So I exported the esrogim and then I sold them. Okay, great, just great. Okay, I'm right. I know. Everything gets justified, but okay. Okay, leave me out of this discussion. Okay, so that's if payers have kedusha shvius. So the first halacha that we're going to say is the following: that this man who took payers, which has kedusha shvius, went over to a woman. In other words, he took them, which he's totally entitled to. They're hefker, so somebody can pick it up now, and he could take them, and he can go over to a woman with the payers have kedusha shvius and say to her, "Hi, how are you? I'd like to marry you. Here's a kesef kedushin," and it works. Now, there's a great Rashi over here. Rashi writes the following: Hamikas beper shvius mekudeshes. V'lo amrinan. Rashi is below where we are in the Gemara, and Rashi writes: V'lo amrinan lav mamono dezocha b'emninu. Don't say it's not his money. It is his money. Meaning, it was hefker, but then he picked them up. So once he picked them up, they're his. Ela kevin dezocha b'em mamono hu l'chol davar. And once you pick it up, it's yours. It's your money. So that is the first half of Rashi. So Rashi says, I might have thought that, look, you can pick it up and you can eat it, but don't ever call it yours. So that's Chiddush number one. Chiddush number one, Rashi, it is yours. Yours with it where now as yours, you can use it in order to get yourself a wife. Inami, Rashi says, and I'll tell you a second Chiddush, meaning this is like 1B. The first part of Rashi is 1A, this is 1B. Inami, delo tema la achla amarachmana. Or maybe Rashi says, look, when I have peir shvias, here's what I can do with it. I can eat it. But that's it. Meaning I can't do any other activity with it. I can't do any commercial activity with it. Right? Velola davar acher. Right? La achla amarachmana velola davar acher. So over here, I might have thought, says Rashi, that using it to marry a woman is like a commercial activity, which I can do with peir shvius. Meaning I'm only allowed to do one thing, and that's eat it. And the chiddush over here is that I can marry a woman with it, which only really begs the question. Meaning,
is that considered a mitzvah to marry? Like
it is a mitzvah.
So he's doing it for a mitzvah.
Yeah, but the Torah says, le'achla.
It's not a regular.
It's not eating. The Torah says you have to consume it. Which only begs the question. Meaning, in 1B of Rashi, in 1A of Rashi, I get. Meaning, the Torah is telling you it's yours. And it's your money. But in 1B, the Torah does say that you really can only do one thing with the peir shvius, and that is eat it. And you can't do other activities with it. So over here, I leave it more of an open-ended question, but obviously it demands a response.
Can you give it someone else to eat?
For sure.
So why this act of transfer?
Because you're getting now the residual value of getting a woman. Meaning you for sure can give it to somebody to eat, but you're making a kinyan now with it. You're acquiring a woman. So the question I'm just going to ask, and it definitely it deserves a lot of attention, it demands an answer, is why isn't this now a commercialized activity? I understand it's marriage. I don't want to call marriage a commercialized activity, but look, since day one of our Masechta, Marriage requires a kinyan. It requires kesef. You have to give the woman kesef. Here you're giving her peir shvius. What Rashi's telling us is, what Rav is telling us, it's perfectly legitimate. And what Rashi's teaching us is the chiddush is, the Torah says, lo achla v'lo l'schora. You can eat it, but you can't do commercial activity with it. And this doesn't fall under the category of commercial activity. Right, the services provided in getting it here.
Yeah.
Okay, could be, but okay, doesn't. That's chiddush number one of Rav. Two, back to the Gemara. Shema mina kitcha begezel eina mekudeshes. Also consider the following: he took the figs from her, but he was allowed to because they were shvius, so they were hefker. But let's say it was any other year. If it was any other year, and she is walking with a basket of fruit, and he says, okay, great, I'll take that. I'll help myself to that. What? They're not yours. Oh, no problem at all. I'm going to give them back to you through Kedushin. Oh, okay, fine. That sounds great. That sounds perfectly reasonable. Right? So, Kitcha Begezel and Mekudeshes V'afila Begezel Dida. That if you take Zela and you try to be Mekadosh a woman with Zela, it's not a valid Kedushin, and even if you stole it from her. Meaning, here's how you could have interpreted this. Right? He comes over to her. She's walking with a basket of fruit. It's not Shemitah. It's hers. He takes it from her. She looks at him. She's like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, let me give it back to you. Here it is. I want to be Mekadosh you. And she says, yes, yeah, sure. Okay. Now, it could be, yes, yeah, sure means, yes, yeah, sure, please get out of my life. I want nothing to do with you. And those aren't your fruit. They were my fruit. Or, yes, yeah, sure, could be, you know what? Right now, you don't show off the best character traits, but, okay, I can work with you. and as far as Gzela is concerned, I'm mochel on the Gzela. So what Rav is saying is the former way, not the latter way. Meaning the yeshur is you give them back to me and you get out of my life. And you never made an acquisition on them. And even though it's gzela, and even though you could make the argument that, you know, once he takes it from her, they're his, meaning obviously it's not right. Obviously it's an issur in the Torah. But in terms of kinyanim, maybe they could have been his. And when he's giving it back to her, he's giving her something of value. So to that, Rav is saying no. And that's what the Mishnah is teaching us. Because the Mishnah says that only when he takes it from her during the Shemitah year where it's not hers, and it's hefker, so then and only then it's going to be good. Time is a shvius to hefker hu. The Mishnah is specifically talking about Shemitah where it's hefker. Hadashar shnei shavua, but if it was any other year, lo. Okay, so that's halacha number two. Halacha number three. Shema mina isha nasa shliach lechaverta v'afil b'makom shenasa l'zatzara. And furthermore, one woman was accepting the kedushin on behalf of all five women. Now again, the sisters are excluded because they're sisters. But for three of the women, the kedushin is going to be valid. Now, who is the shliach? It's going to be her co-wife. Now, co-wives in halacha, remember this also takes us back to Yevamos. Okay. Co-wives in halacha generally have animosity towards one another for the reasons which are self-evident. I don't have to spell them out. So and we learned back in Yevamos that if a co-wife testifies on behalf of another co-wife, even in an area where we normally believe a woman, like for example, the husband is gone, and one person testified that he died, and generally speaking, anyone can testify, and a woman can testify. However, a co-wife cannot, because of the built-in animosity that exists between co-wives. Even though all that's true, Rav says, but here's a third halacha. A co-wife can't testify on behalf of a co-wife, but she can serve as a shliach. Okay, those are three halachas. Now there's a fourth halacha, but Rav says, but I'm not going anywhere with that fourth halacha. The fourth halacha is whether or not kedushin, which does not result in a bia. So Rav says that's a fourth halacha that can be generated from that Mishnah, but here's the problem. We just learned over the course of yesterday and the beginning of today's shiur, machlokes between Abai and Rava. And that machlokes between Abai and Rava is going to manifest in terms of how to learn the Mishnah. And we went over this yesterday. And v'nichshavei, now why doesn't Rav consider that to be a halacha mishum? Demasafka leika Abai karava. Exactly for this reason, because he doesn't know which one to follow. Do I follow like Abai or do I follow like a Rava? So that Rav is saying, now I understand Rav lived before Abai and Rava, but clearly the issue of Kedushin Shein Mesrim Labia was subject to a debate prior to Abai and Rava. Abai and Rava, so to say, popularized the debate, but Rav said, I really don't know which way to go. And that's why Rav did not walk home with that halacha, because it's machlok chun Abai and Rava. Now the Gemara ended up paskening right prior to this, but Rav himself was unclear. Kisalak Rav Zera Amar Lahashmaita coming to Rav Yochanan. Now Rav Zera went up to Eretz Yisrael, meaning he made Aliyah. Right, the Rav Zera's Aliyah was popularized in the Gemara and Ksuvos. Anyway, he made Aliyah, and when he made Aliyah, so a lot of the Torah that was taught over in Bavel, so he repeats it to the Amoraim living in Eretz Yisrael, and specifically over here to Rav Yochanan. Amale Miyamar Rav Hachi. Now, saying over the Mishnah in Kiddushin in the second parak, meaning our Mishnah, and he said over all of Rav's Chidushim of the Mishnah in front of Rav Yochanan. So Miyamar Rav Hachi v'halo Amar. Amar Le Rav Yochanan's response was Miyamar Rav Hachi, meaning Rav Yochanan couldn't believe it. Now at this point, what we think is that Rav Yochanan couldn't believe it, meaning I can't believe Rav said that. That's wrong.
He's incredible.
Now v'hulo Amar, the Gemara says, now wait 1 second, Rav Yochanan, you're in perfect alignment with Rav's conclusions. V'hamar Rav Yochanan gezev lo nisashu abalim. Now, if a person steals, but gezeila, meaning broad daylight, just takes it away from somebody, and lo nisashu abalim, and the owners did not have despair, so meaning there is no kinyan, shneim einam yichom lahaktish. Neither the owner nor the gazlan can sanctify the item, can consecrate the item. Why? Zelafi shena shalo, the gazlan doesn't own it, and zelafi shena birshuso. And right now the current owner doesn't have it on his possession. Meaning it's his, but not, it's not in his possession. And in order to be matish, you have to have both. You have to have ownership and control. And since the owner right now currently doesn't have that, so neither of them can be matish it. So basically now, what did we just learn? Rav and Rav Yochanan are in perfect agreement. What did Rav teach us? That if it's not the Shemitah year and somebody comes along and just takes something from somebody, even if it's a woman herself, and tries to give it back to her as Kedushin, it's not effective. Meaning because it's not yours. So basically, Rav and Rav Yochanan are in perfect alignment. Hachi kamerle miyama Rav kavasi. So the Gemara says, so what we just needed to do is reinterpret Rav Yochanan's amazement. His amazement was, I can't believe Rav said that, he's wrong. Where Rav Yochanan was actually saying was, I can't believe Rav said that, I said that, and I'm so happy I said the same thing that Rav said. Meitzvei. The Gemara challenges. Kisha begezla b'chamas of a geneva. A man makes an attempt to be mekadesh a woman using a stolen item, a chamas item, or a geneva item. The difference is gzela, broad daylight, chamas, you take it, you end up paying for it afterwards. But that's extortion. And gneva, not broad daylight. So, osha chatav salami yadav kisha, or he takes it right out of her hands and he's mekadosh with it. Mikudeshet, the kedushin is a valid kedushin. So the Gemara says, hasam begezel dida. The Gemara says, well, we're talking about where he stole it from her. So Hamidik Tani Sefer, the Gemara says, wait 1 second. No, it's not right. E Oshachata Sela Mishala. Mechal Deresha Begezel Da'al Maskinan. Well, in the second half of the Brisa, he's taking it from her, which means that in the first half of the Brisa, he's taking it from somebody else. Neperusha Kamefarish. The Gemara says, no, the Brisa is one thought. It's one idea. The second half of the Brisa is explaining the first half of the Brisa. Kisha Begezel Bechamas Begeneva Ketzad. Exactly what the case is. Kigon shechato sela mi adav v'kiddusha bo. Okay, and he took it from her and he was mekadesh her. So the hamasisin de gezel dida the kamarav einu mekadeshes. So the Gemara says, now that we learned the brisa, obviously the brisa presents a challenge to Rav. Rav taught us using our very own Mishnah that if you are mekadesh with a stolen item, even if you steal it from her, the kedushin is simply not valid. Meanwhile, we just learned the Brisa together. The Brisa has just taught us that if you take something from her and you present it back to her as Kesef Kedushin, it's valid. That's called a stira. So the Gemara says, Lo kasha had shadich had lo shadich. The Gemara gives a very simple resolution. Simple, I don't know about simple, but straightforward. Very straightforward resolution. If there were shiduchim, remember that term that we use throughout our Masechta, shiduchim means is that they had a coffee together and they talked marriage and he proposed the idea to her. And again, I'm using a more modern reference where the principals themselves, back in the good old days, it was the families. But either way, in other words, the marriage, the idea of marriage was entertained. And more than entertained, she said, fine, I like the idea. And then for the actual Kedushin itself, okay, so maybe there are better ways in which he can be Mekadosher. But he goes over to her and he takes something right out of her hands and he hands it back to her. But because there was already a discussion of marriage, so then we're going to interpret her accepting of the stolen item, meaning it was hers, but we're going to interpret it as a mochel. Okay, granted, he's not showing off right now the best character traits, but again, we spoke marriage, I agree to the marriage, I'm mochel. He took it from me, I'm mochel, it's now his, I'm taking it back, as kesef kedushin. But if there was no shiduchim, if it's just a man and a woman, and he takes something from her, she wants nothing to do with him. She accepts it back, but just simply because she wants it back, not because she's accepting as kesef kedusha. We'll finish today with a couple of stories. A woman is washing her feet in a bowl of water. Along comes a man, chatav zuze mechavre v'shadallah. And he grabs a coin from another man. The foot washing seems to be totally immaterial, but he grabs a coin from another man, and gzela, just theft, straight out theft, and vishadallah, and he sends it to her, and he gives it to her, and he says, hi, I want to be mekadosh with this money. Now, she accepts it, but he's being mekadosh with stolen goods. Amar la mekudeshes li. Also, gavala kamad derava. Now, the man goes in front of Rava and says to Rava, what is the validity of this kedushin? I used kesef, which I stole. Amar leis techash lahad Rabbi Shimon, the Amar stam gzela yesh balim hava. To which Rava says, you're not married. There's no marriage here whatsoever. Nobody is concerned for the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that gzela equals immediate yesh, because when somebody steals something from you without any regard whatsoever of hiding his identity, basically, he's saying, I'm taking it from you, and there's nothing you could do from it. And I know in the storybooks, you stand up to the bully and you get it back, but sometimes the bully's a bully for a reason. You're not getting it back. So basically, okay, fine, it's yours. So Rabbi Shimon says, Gzela equals immediate Yesh. So Rava says, we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon. And so therefore, it's not yours, and therefore the Kedushin is not a valid Kedushin. Story number two. Harisa de Kaddish b'moza de Shamche. Okay, there was a sharecropper. Now remember, a sharecropper is entitled to a portion of the field. Okay, whatever the arrangement was, a quarter, a third, whatever. There's profit sharing. And he's entitled to actually some of the produce. And he takes a bundle of onions, a handful of onions, and he hands it to a woman off of the field that he's working. Now, once again, the matter comes in front of Rav, and Rav says, wait one second. You're a partner, but wait one second. That bundle of onions that you took, they're not exclusively yours. There's an owner to the land. And in order for it to be yours, you first have to go to the owner, and you have to profit share. You didn't profit share yet. So therefore, those onions aren't exclusively yours, and therefore you can't be mekadosh with them. But the Gemara here qualifies. That's only if he takes a handful of onions. Aval, kisha, but if he takes a bundle of onions, meaning it clearly is quantifiable how much onions he took, so there the marriage would work. Matzi amarle, ana shakli kisha shakal at kisha. Remember, he's entitled to profit sharing. And because he took a bundle and it's quantifiable, so now he goes over to the owner of the property and says, look, I'm entitled to shares, and I took my share. As opposed to a handful of onions where he can't. Because there, it's not quantifiable, it's just a handful, and he has to first go with the owner and say to the owner, hey, can I have these? And you're going to measure them, etc., etc. Here, because he took a bundle and it is quantifiable, so he can then later say to the owner, look, I took a bundle, so you'll take a bundle. And again, whatever the arrangement was in terms of the percentage of profit sharing, but he is entitled to a share, and because he took a unit, therefore it's fine. So let me just read that again. Ana shakli kisha, shakal at kisha, kisha ki kisha. Meaning, I took my share, you'll take your share. Okay, the brewer, so we'll finish tomorrow with the story of the brewer. Okay, it's time. Okay, tomorrow, one more story to go in terms of somebody who helps himself to something that he may be entitled to, and he's Mekadesh a woman. Let's quickly recap. Today we finished off the discussion of Kedushin Shem Surim Labia. And Machlok is Abaye Rava, whether Kedushin is valid or not. Rava says it's not. Abaye says it is. And the Gemara on this clearly rules like Abaye. And this is one of the Al-Kagam, six times in Shas where we Pasyan like Abaye over that of Rava. Kedushin She'ein Mesurim Labia is still going to be a Kedushin. Then we went back to our mission, the story of the man who is Mekadesh the five women. One of them is accepting Kedushin on behalf. Of the five women, two of them are sisters. They're excluded from the marriage. The other three, the marriage would be good. And Rav says, I go home with this Mishnah with three halachas. One, you can be Mekadesh a woman with Perish Shvius, even though they have Kedusha Shvius, but the Kedushin works. Two, is that if I steal produce, I cannot be Mekadesh. And we learned that from the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is talking specifically about Perish Mita. And three, the third halacha, says Rav, is that a co-wife can serve as a shliach for another co-wife, even though can't testify about another co-wife, but can serve as a shliach for the other co-wife. And then we finished off today's daf with a number of stories regarding being a man being Mekadesh, a woman with stolen items, or not stolen items, but items that he's not fully entitled to as of yet, and whether the Kedushin is valid or not. And we'll finish off tomorrow with one more story, and then we'll obviously continue on.